just get everybody in. No, season doesn't mean anything. Sorry.
What's that thing Gandalf says?
He says a lot of great things.
You shall not pass.
You shall not pass.
Now he's changing his tune.
Now you shall everyone pass.
Now everyone pass.
Well, okay. We're talking during the break. There's like the NCAA Transformation Committee. Final report recommends an expansion of championship tournaments to incorporate 25% of teams. Is that all NCAA? Is that all NCAA Transformation Committees? Because again, this isn't counting the football playoff. Because the football playoff is its own world. This is talking about your volleyball and your basketball and underwater basket weaving and stuff. NCAA basketball tournament would expand, if this happens, would expand to 90 teams. However, individual sport oversight committees will give the final approval. Now, 90 teams is good for money and marketing because the more teams in, the more people pay attention to March Madness. But what is it, 64? Do we need more than 64? I mean, it's fine the way it is. This one's fine the way it is. Now, I've made a couple of changes in my own little brain here. Of just the final four should be a best of three. That's all I've said. Now, I don't even know if I feel that. I don't feel confident enough about that to actually push for it on the show on a daily basis like I did for expansion of the NFL or the NCAA playoffs or college football playoffs. That was my only, like, March Madness is pretty damn good the way it is. I'm just telling you, I think once you get to the final four, it'd be kind of cool to see a little bit of a playoff, a little bit of a series type format.
As great as it is, you know, in those first couple of days where it's just nonstop basketball, mm-hmm. buzzer beaters, upsets.
It'd be more of that.
Don't you want three more days of that?
But then what is the point of the season?
Right.
I mean,
what's the point of a conference tournament?
Yeah.
Other than, hey, we got to get in the top two of our conference. We might have a shot.
Like right now, even for UNC, we're talking about, oh, should we be worried about that? Dude, they could lose every game from here on out. And then just get Dalen Kuntz and Dalton Knecht and Matt Johnson just hit, you know, 55% from the three-point line in three games, and boom, they're in. And that can happen. I saw it happen with Wyoming. They were bad because their best player, Larry Nance Jr., was out for like 3 weeks with mono, and they were losing game after game after game after game after game, and then they got into the tournament, and they ran the table, and they won. They got into March Madness. No, I don't think so.
This feels like a trend in sports mm-hmm. nowadays.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
College football playoff expanded.
NFL playoffs.
NFL will probably go to 18.
Probably,
at some point.
But they've already expanded to two more, adding the sevens. Major League Baseball expanded.
They're going. The World Cup is expanding in 4 years.
NBA expanded. They did the play-in. We have the weird, confusing, nobody knows what it is until it's their play-in game.
People want more sports.
They want more of their chance of their team getting in. So if you do this with 90 teams, you just said it, UNC, well, then do you consider going to those conferences like the Big Sky and saying you can now get an at-large?
Like, hey, you're tournament winner and you're regular season winner. If they're two different teams, they both get in.
Yeah.
If not, then the second place team gets in.
Right. Because right now for the Big Sky, it's you got to win the tournament. Doesn't matter if you win the regular season. You could be the regular season champ, but cool, you get to hang a banner that says you're the regular season champ. But if you lose in the first, second, third, fourth round of the conference tournament, you're out. So do you increase? Like that, I'm more intrigued by, just for my own personal bias, to see like, oh, UNC could earn an at-large or just win their regular season. Because it puts more of there's got to be a way, Angel, in college basketball, if you really want to do this, how do you keep the venom that is March Madness, but add some more to the regular season? Because college basketball's regular season, and I like it. I watched Prairie View and Grambling last night. Who the hell cares, right? But I enjoy watching sports if it's on. But not everybody is like that. I don't think Tanner has watched a Nuggets basketball game. He won't probably until April. And that's a basketball fandom, right? Like, how many kind of college basketball fans really don't care until now, maybe later in January and closer to February? There's got to be a way to increase the interest for the regular season. And you're right. If you win your regular season title, you're in. Now, is that the way it is with the Pac-12? The Pac-12, you get obviously, if they will be they're able to grab at-large bids. So you can just get in by winning 25 or whatever and having quad one wins and all that stuff. But I don't think just winning your regular season title. Now, odds are you win your regular season title, you're already an at-large bid in the big-time conferences. Odds are. But I know that if you win the tournament, that's your automatic ticket for everybody, right? I'm right on that, right? So how do you add more venom to the regular season? You know, the Bears lost to Idaho State. Okay, so what? Recover? It's not the end of the world. Doesn't put as much emphasis on these regular season games. Now, whereas college football, other than the goofy bowl games that I don't care about, the mayonnaise bowl and all that, then you have the regular season. It's very vital. I mean, you lose one. If you want to be a playoff team, losing one or two games is a death sentence. If you want to win your conference, losing one or two or three games is kind of a death sentence. In basketball, it's not so much the case because you have a lot more games, and I get that. But it is basketball. It lends itself to more games, meaning each game is less important than a college football game. But is that what they're trying to do here, is add more emphasis to that, or just simply grow more markets? So instead of 64, I'm adding about 30 more. So I have 30 more fan bases now really interested. And odds are they're going to watch all of it. They're going to watch all of the March Madness deal.
I think it kind of plays on those Cinderella type of schools, like we saw with St. Peter's a couple years ago, or UMBC or whoever. Those like out of nowhere schools, like where are they even at? And they go and win 2-3 games in a tournament and they have fun for a week or so. I think they want more of that. They want more teams that are showing up to this tournament. And it's not, oh, who is that? It's, oh, that's that team. They were good the last couple of years. They've been in the tournament a couple of times. I could pick them for an upset year.
I don't know. There's just certain, like the NFL
playoffs. Again, this is the NCAA, so this could be a whole bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, it could be. And again, like the NFL playoffs, did we need to add another team? What was wrong with it?
Did we need 3 days of wild card round? Because by the time you get to the Monday game, you're like, okay, we have one more game.
Right, and listen, I'm not, like I said, by the time the game hits, I'm sitting down going, all right, I'm happy there's a game on. But that is different Brady than logical Brady. There's Brady of the, oh, there's a game on right now. Hey, it's either that or watch the new Wales thing on Disney, the Disney Plus thing. I want to see that documentary. It's either that, okay, but no, there's a game on instead. I'll watch this game. So, in the moment, I'm like, yeah, I'm happy we have another playoff game. But we didn't need one. We don't need one team to get the first round bye. Is it okay now that it's done? Sure, but is it any better? I don't think so. It's fine. Instead of two teams battling it out for the top two seeds to get the first round byes, we got one. Okay. It's either or. Did the NBA need the play-in thing? Now, is it kind of interesting knowing that a crappy team can still hang in there and they can win a play-in game and then win another play-in game and then they're in the playoffs only to lose, like, 4-1 in the first round? None of those teams are coming back and doing anything. I mean, I get the idea. Let's prevent teams from tanking. This prevents more teams from tanking because if you're on the cusp, okay, you're going to play it out because you might get into the play-in game. Did we absolutely need it? I don't think so. The NBA is doing just fine as far as starting to spread out. Because, dude, telling you right now, Golden State's not going to win the title. It's going to be a new title winner that we haven't seen in a while. I mean, Boston, I guess, but Denver's certainly in the mix. Memphis is certainly in the mix. There's some teams here that haven't won it, or at least under their old regime or whatever. But did we need all of this? I don't think we did. Yeah, First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. The poll question of the day available at thewholeshow.com. Let's look at the coaching situation for the Broncos, and I want to talk about George Payton, Greg Penner. Who would you rather see as the next head coach of the Denver Broncos if you could pick? Like, if you're the one and the trade thing is of no worry to you about Sean Payton or anything like that, who are you picking to be the next head coach of the Denver Broncos? Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton, or Dan Quinn? And Jim Harbaugh is leading this thing. And that would be my pick. What do you guys think? So it's Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton, and then Dan Quinn. Not a lot of love for Dan Quinn since Sean Payton's name has really started to come in. And I think Jim Harbaugh, the question was, does he want it? But several reports indicating that if he is offered an NFL job, he is going to take it. He's done with the rat race that is chasing down recruits and worrying about NIL and all that stuff. And I definitely see why. It seems, now, NFL, you're managing grown men that are making way more than you. But college football, you could be in Michigan. You could be managing. You could be coaching a player that's making more than you in NIL dollars in Michigan now, the way it's going. So I can see Jim Harbaugh certainly leaving. And I could see the Broncos making sense. Who would you rather have of those three? Assuming the trade thing wasn't an issue in New Orleans.
I have a hard time with Harbaugh.
He's a weird dude.
I think he's a weird dude, and I think that transition to the NFL is, it may work, but I don't think this organization is in a spot right now to wait that long.
You mean like retransition to the NFL?
Yes, retransition. But being away from it for so long, getting used to the college world, and then going back to it, when it's obviously changed a lot too, I think that's a difficult transition. Sean Payton's, you're gonna be in a bidding war with 6-7 other teams for that. So that's, you know, he's gonna be the number one for a lot of other teams. And then Dan Quinn, no,
you're out on Dan Quinn.
If you're going to get a coach just to fix the quarterback, you're not starting the search in the right place.
So of these
three
guys, you don't think...
There is more issues with this team than just Russell Wilson.
So you're going with you're not going with a younger guy, are you?
I couldn't think of any.
Well, there's a few. I mean, there's your usual suspects. Obviously, not even younger guys necessarily, but Eric Bieniemy's name's always coming up. As far as some of the younger names, the guys who haven't done it before, you know, there's some interesting names. But who would you be interested in overall as far as a guy that... Because you don't want to advance Joseph this thing again. You don't want to get the Vic Fangio guy who's older, but, you know, he's really good in one position, but he's going to get his shot. You don't want to go with the Josh McDaniels thing and give him too much too fast. Dan Quinn's, like I said, he's there. D'Amico Ryans, I've heard his name.
Kellen Moore.
Both of those, like a DC and then an OC, both guys who haven't coached yet. Is that the route you want to go? Frank Reich is in the conversation, but, I mean, he just got fired midway through the season, and make sense to me. I mean, Reich has had a pretty terrible time with quarterbacks since Andrew Luck. It was Jacoby Brissett, Philip Rivers, Carson Wentz, and Matt Ryan. You know what they have in common with Russ? All veteran quarterbacks that he couldn't figure out. All decent. Philip Rivers, Carson Wentz has had his moments, but certainly those moments are gone. And Matt Ryan was like on his way to being in the conversation of being in the Hall of Fame. And Frank Reich couldn't get those guys to work. So why does it make sense here? So his name has been thrown out there. Jonathan Gannon's another one, the Eagles DC. So do you dare go this route again and get a young guy, up-and-comer, and hope you can strike oil like the Niners did, like the Dolphins kind of did, like the Giants did? Or do you say, dude, we can't afford to go after a risk. We need to go with the safe option here. Dude, this is just like the draft nowadays, though. Because who's to say? Who's to say that a young and up, like Nathaniel Hackett, like doesn't seem like he's that much different than what you saw in Mike McDaniel or Kyle Shanahan, at least as far as temperament. Now, Shanahan's got his dad's temperament. But then as you started to see it progress through the season, you were like, oh, he's too nice. Yeah. That's it. Just too nice. One of the issues. Or do you retread here? the usual suspects that their names always pop up, and we want to go that route. I mean, make no mistake about it. Like Bill Cowher's name just now finally moved away. I seriously saw a tweet the other day that said Jimmy Johnson. The guy's 99 years old. But this is what we do. We go with the four or five names that we know, and then we go, oh, there's a young and up-and-comer coordinator. You're going to get one of those guys. It's not going to be a guy we haven't heard. But the safe bet would be to get one of these guys. Here's the interesting thing, though. Jim Harbaugh only coached 4 years in the NFL. Now, in those 4 years, they packed a punch. 13-3, 11-4, 12-4, and then 8-8 in his final year. But they went to a Super Bowl. They went to two NFC championship games. I mean, think about that. Three of Jim Harbaugh's 4 years coaching as an NFL coach, they were in the NFC championship game. He hardly knows anything other than being in the NFC, in a conference championship game. But it's a short sample size. He did get the best out of Colin Kaepernick. Kaepernick, obviously, we know what happened to him after everything. Sean Payton has the larger sample size. He coached with the Saints forever, from like 2005 or 6 or something like that. And they were in the playoffs all the time, probably more often than not. But was that Drew Brees? Was that Payton? Was that a mix of the two?
Well, they were like 7-8 in the playoffs with Payton anyway.
Yeah.
So they weren't like...
No,
they weren't getting there and winning games.
No, not...
They were
not
getting there, which is a step for most teams, but...
Yeah, they won the Super Bowl in 2009. But then they lost in the wild card game. They lost in the divisional game after the first round bye. And then they lost in another divisional game to the Seahawks. And then they went 3 years in a row without making the playoffs. Then they lost in the divisional game. Then they went to the NFC championship game. Then they lost in the wild card game. He's a playoff coach.
What about a guy like Kingsbury? Do you give him his second shot?
I don't know. I don't see Denver doing that. But that's why I like the Frank Reich thing, even though you got an older guy versus a younger guy. Why would you go after somebody who was just dismissed from their team? Because I'm guessing Kingsbury will be.
Yeah, but I'd also say Arizona has more of a Kyler issue than Kingsbury.
Perhaps. Dixon says, I would ask Peyton to rank them in order of preference and then pick the last one.
Reverse psychology. Well, we were talking about it. What power does Peyton have at this point?
I don't.
As a GM, are you just an acting GM?
Okay. So I was down at Denver last week, and I was going through some of these scenarios with these guys. And I'm throwing it out saying, all right, apparently it's common. Because Penner was saying that, Greg Penner. Well, a lot of organizations, the GM is, you know, more in control of the personnel and the draft and the players and the roster development. And then the president or whatever is the guy that hires the head coach. Okay, I guess. But that just seems like you clipped his wings, because before you got here, he hired Nathaniel Hackett. Now you're here and you even said it. He's answering to you. The head coach is answering to you, not the GM. To you. Which I think the optics of that look weird. You hire a GM to hire the coach, work with the coach, draft picks, free agency, construct the roster. Those are the things that I think of for a GM. But if the coach isn't answering to you, he's answering to Greg Penner. The coach goes to Greg Penner and goes, dude, I know you love Russ, but I'm really thinking we should go with this guy for this game. And then Greg Penner says, okay, sure. Hey, by the way, George, we're going with this quarterback today. Wait, my job is to construct the roster. Yeah, but the coach and I both feel it's messy. No. And then for Penner to say, yes, I will be listening to George Payton. I'll be relying on his advice. Based on what? He's hired one coach since he's been in charge. And that coach was one of the biggest failures in NFL history. So you're going to listen to him? You clipped his wings. And if you bring a Harbaugh, Quinn, or Payton in, what are those guys going to want? Control.
They're going to want their own guys.
Yeah, or...
In terms of coaching staff, or they're going to have...
Or almost be the GM.
They're going to be the GM,
they want to
or they're
be Bill
going to
Belichick.
Create friction in the front office to where it's eventually, do we keep our coach or do we keep our GM? Peyton's on the hot seat already.
He's on the hot seat already. This is going to be done. It's clunky. I tweeted this out last week. The Nathaniel Hackett stuff was clunky. We had to hire a guy to manage games for you. We had to demote you from calling plays and promote Kubiak. You couldn't handle managing your players on the sidelines. It was clunky. What would you say you do here? Kind of deal. Now with George Payton, I'm going, it's clunky. It doesn't feel right. You failed miserably. You failed in a lot of areas after a decent, tiny little nice start as a GM for the Broncos. But you failed in a lot of areas, specifically the hiring of your head coach, the trading of your quarterback, and the re-signing of your quarterback. You failed miserably, at least for year one. We'll see what happens with Russ going forward.
Would you be shocked if they fired Payton next week?
That's what we, yeah, there's text just coming in. Saying that, I don't know if you guys are hearing something I'm not. Would I be shocked? No. Does it make
I think that would be the best move going forward is wait till the season's done. All right, you're out of here. We're going to get our own guys.
Can you figure out, was Harbaugh the GM while he was at San Francisco? Was he any because, like, again, Josh McDaniels, if you'll remember, was hired as the head coach and the GM. Different kind of setup as your typical GMs. Like when Elway was GM, he was straight up GM. But there's a lot of Bill Belichicks out there. You know, Bill Parcells coined that phrase, you know, if you want me to cook the meal, I got to be in charge of buying the groceries. That is a real thing with head coaches now, especially older head coaches. Guys that have done it for a while and want to be in control. I wouldn't be shocked at all if George Payton is gone by next week. Now, again, Greg Penner, if you watch that press conference, he was hot. I felt bad for George Payton in a sense. Now, he came out and said the right things. Payton did, but I was like, dude, Greg Penner's the ones. This is embarrassing. This is awful. We can't do this. Yeah, I mean, it was like a Deion Sanders type thing. I'm coming. You know? And George is like, yeah, you know, we'll get there. I mean, you're supposed to be in control of the roster and the head coach. What's the most important part of the roster? Quarterback. So you failed at the head coach and you failed at the quarterback. Now, again, next year, Russell Wilson could save George Payton's job. But if they suck again, if they don't make the playoffs, George Payton is toast. Do you even wait that long? Why am I hiring Harbaugh? But then he reports to Greg Penner, not to you, George. And again, I ask, what would you say you do here? I'm a people person. I draft the people that play for the football team that Harbaugh decides on. Yeah, but I'm the one that pulls the trigger and makes the call and says, hey, we want number so-and-so at so-and-so. Yeah, but Harbaugh decided that. That's who Jim wanted. Like, do you think George Payton's going to draft somebody that Jim Harbaugh says, no. Hey, little boy, all right? When I was in the NFC Championship three of my 4 years coaching, and it took me a half a second to turn Michigan around, and every other job I've been to turn it around, they did what I said. So I get that you want to draft a tight end with number 32 pick overall, because that's San Francisco's pick probably. See where I'm going with my prediction. I'm going to go with a right tackle or whatever I see fit. Dixon says, Brady, in these situations, I think I would fall back on what would John Elway do and then do whatever it is as far from that as possible. Okay.
So you get John and George's ideas.
Yeah.
You pick the worst one.
And then that actually, you keep them employed because that actually works.
Reverse psychology.
What you say is the opposite is what's going to work. So you just keep giving me what you really think, and I'm going to do the opposite, but I'm going to keep you employed because this actually works. Let's talk about that. What would John do in this situation, and what would George Payton do? In my mind, based on the roadmap we've seen thus far. Let's jump out real quick, though. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. What would John /George do in this situation? We'll talk about it next.
Is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome What would John Elway do if he was still in charge? What I've seen from Elway is he goes the opposite way. If something doesn't work, he goes completely away from it. For example, he drafted Paxton Lynch in the first round. That went terribly. So he did not draft a quarterback ever again in the first round. Even when Josh Allen, who basically was John Elway, was right there for him. He had a friend, Gary Kubiak, who was an offensive-minded guy who'd been in the league for a while. Obviously was a head coach with the Texans for a while. And he was the OC for Baltimore, was calling it quits. He hired him. That went well, but it fell out pretty badly. Gary and John didn't see eye to eye with the Brock Osweiler thing and all of that. And that went sideways. So Elway decided, all right, let me go the defensive route. And a young guy that's never coached before. Let's go Vance Joseph. That didn't work out. Now, again, he doubled down and went with a defensive guy the next year. Because I think he thought, okay, we won a Super Bowl with a great defense. Let's just keep building on the defense. So let me go the opposite. Instead of a really young and up-and-coming guy, we're going to go old and up-and-coming. Like, never coached before, but he's 60. Let's go that route. So I'm just looking at some of the things here. You had Shaq Barrett and Von Miller as your pass rushers, but you drafted Bradley Chubb with a fifth pick overall. You didn't need him. So what would John Elway do? Who would he hire today of the three guys or of anyone? Well, you just had three first-time head coaches fail. So Elway's going to go opposite of that. Would he hire Rosberg? No, Elway's swinging for the fences at this point. He's swinging for the fences. He's going to sign away. No, this would be Peyton. Elway would swing for the fences for Sean Payton and offer a first-round pick and maybe a good player to the Saints. Like Justin Simmons. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of a player of value. Because there's Simmons, there's Patrick Surtain, Javonte Williams, who, again, is out. Jerry Jeudy, I don't know. Maybe one of those kind of guys. For Peyton. And maybe the Saints take it. George Peyton wants Sean Payton as well, swings for the fences, and offers him this year's first-round pick and, like, all of... Because I think you can go out 4 years? 3 years? How far can you go out in trades? 3 years? They don't have a first-round pick. They didn't have one last year. They don't have one this year. Do they have one the next year? So they'll offer that one. They'll offer this year's first-round pick, which is San Francisco's, and then they'll offer their next available first-round pick. That's what George Payton would do. Mr., I'm building up through the draft, but I don't have any ammunition. Because that's what he said. I believe in building through the draft. No, you don't. You got rid of all of your best bullets. Your best bullets that you carved your initials into, loaded them up in your old pistol. You got rid of those. So you could get Russell Wilson. So that's what I think that those two would do. I think they would overpay. And you don't have a lot to overpay with. Am I right on that? The Broncos traded two first-round picks, correct? Last year's and this year's. So they do have next year's. So I think that they would trade San Francisco's first pick and next year's first pick to acquire Sean Payton. I think George Payton would do that. And you'd be out two more first-round picks. The one you just acquired for Bradley Chubb and the one you have for next year. I could see that happening. So if you're thinking, what would the opposite of that move be? You bring on Dan Quinn. The safe pick. You bring in Schottenheimer, who had a good connection with Russell Wilson, and from what I'm hearing, they didn't have a big falling out. They're still decent to each other. So you bring Dan Quinn in with Schottenheimer, and you have kind of that old Seattle connection there, and you hope that could work. That's the safe bet, because that's the last guy that seemed to be working well with Russell Wilson. So I like Harbaugh. That's juicy. Sean Payton, that's juicy, but you're going to have to give King's ransom to get him. I think you're Greg Pennering. If you're Greg Penner, you're pulling back, and you're going, okay, we're going to go safe. We're going to go with Dan Quinn. It's the boring. It's the most boring of the two, according to the Hooligan, according to the text line and the website, thewholeshow.com. Dan Quinn is the least popular in your voting. So Dan Quinn seems to be the guy.
Do you try to if it is Quinn? Do you try to play out a 3-year scenario where it's, hey, do what you can in 3 years.
Yep.
We're probably going to let you go at 3 years. We're going to get Russ's replacement at some point, and he won't play the last year or so of his contract.
I think
and
you
we'll move forward there.
Oh, so you think they just go a 3-year
like
plan with Quinn?
Quinn would be like a bridge coach.
How old is Dan Quinn? I could see. Listen, this is why you can't hire Rosberg for many reasons.
He's 52. Wow.
So you could see him coaching into his 60s. So I think whoever it's going to be is going to get a 5-year deal if they want it. And I'm going to say, all right, you got 5 years. 2 of those years, obviously, you've got Russ on the last year of his old deal, and you've got him for the first year and second year of his new deal. So I'm going to give you 3 years with Russ, 2 years with Russ. But if things are going sideways next year and we suck, you're safe. We got a draft pick, though. And we'll draft a quarterback.
Would that be the quarterback for that coach, or would that be quarterback coach in waiting?
I think you have whatever Greg Penner does, Angel, you have to hire the next guy with the mindset of, this is it. We are not doing this again. Dude, I'm telling you. Josh McDaniels, John Fox, Gary Kubiak, Vance Joseph, Vic Fangio, Nathaniel Hackett, 6 coaches. Since 2008, that's a lot. Considering in my lifetime, it was Mike Shanahan from 94 to 2008. You're one guy. You want to make Broncos country great? I almost said again. I ain't gonna do that. You want to make it great? You have to find consistency with your head coach. You have your quarterback, for better or worse. You have to find consistency. 41 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Lemons heating and cooling. They'll get you ready for cleaning up that heater, the duct cleaning situation, or even, you know, it's January 3rd, air conditioning's not that far away. You got to think about all this stuff well in advance so you're not dealing with it while you're in it. That's Lemons Heating and Cooling, HVAC contractor in Greeley. Free estimates available. Check them out online, lemonsheatingandcooling.com. You can call 970-567-0798. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Okay, that's a good text. Brady, Walmart, like other stores, will now start charging for plastic shopping bags. That, combined with the money they save by only having 2 registers open, should be enough to pay for any coach you want. Isn't that the truth?
I don't think money's the issue.
No, money is not the issue. Sean Payton, people keep saying, dude, they can throw whatever they want at Sean Payton. Yeah, but the Saints are still right there in the middle of it. The Saints don't care how much Sean Payton makes.
They want draft picks, players.
It doesn't matter to me that you're offering him $1 billion or $8 million. It doesn't matter. I want your picks. What do you got? What do you got for me? Highest bidder. Because, like, who's going to be offering stuff here? Who's going to be looking for a new head coach?
Houston.
Houston's going to have a nice juicy draft pick there. I mean, there's going to be a lot.
Carolina. Now,
I don't know that Peyton's going to yield a top 10. That's a lot for a head coach.
Houston has 2 first-round picks.
Oh, they do.
So one will probably be Bryce Young, and then they could trade that other one for Peyton.
Wow. Yeah, I just... You don't have what it takes to get him. You know, and again, the whole thing about, like, this... Who's going to be your head coach? How are they going to work with George Payton? It doesn't matter now, does it? Because Penner said, you're not answering to him. You had an interesting question about Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler during the break, coming out in defense of Russell Wilson, too. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting how, you know, there was this sudden outpouring of support for Russell Wilson, mainly from Jerry Jeudy and KJ. But there were some other players that put stuff out on social media about it. And I was just curious, I'm like, where was this all season long? And yeah, there's snippets of it from Jerry Jeudy's Twitter throughout the season about, you know, saying something about Russell, whatever. But you hadn't seen that much support in that moment all season long. And I was wondering, was Hackett's influence or his being there, did that affect it?
Well, here's one side of thinking on that. You fire somebody like that, your head coach, after not even a year, you rattle the cages, man. People go, oh boy. And they hear everything that we're talking about, and it's on Twitter. Russell ain't going anywhere. So they're like, should I start making nice with Russ so I can get my receptions up? And
they realize where the line has been drawn.
Yeah. Because we're going with, it's obvious, you can look at the contract, but Russ is here. Hackett's gone. Also, I mean, is this a point where Jerry Jeudy looked himself in the mirror and said, it's time? Now, he sparked that game where he sparked and got going. Was that against the Cardinals?
That was KC.
That was KC when they made the comeback. And they rallied. Did he look in the mirror and go, they rallied around me. Maybe I can rally around Russ and he can rally around me.
He's that guy now.
Maybe he did. Maybe. The optics at first looked weird to me because he kind of looked like a baby crying, and then he shoved the ref, and then it started to work. And then he started being pumped up in the positive way, and I thought, they rallied around this guy, and he's been playing great football ever since. So maybe Jerry Jeudy looked himself in the mirror and said, I grew up in that Kansas City game. These guys are harping on my quarterback. He's my quarterback next year, whether I like it or not. So I'm going to make the best of the situation so that if I'm a free agent in a year, I have a, you know, I don't have
team
at least,
player.
I at least have the team player thing working for me. Now, again, it could be all genuine and I'm just Mr. Scrooge McDuck here. It could all be genuine and they truly do love the guy.
I'm not doubting that. I was just curious why all that came out after Hackett.
It was odd
fired.
Timing, but I do think that you setting yourself up. It could be a mix of everything. They could actually like Russ. I've heard a mixed bag. I heard a lot of people do like Russ. I heard there's a lot of people in the locker room that aren't really crazy about him. Just wonder.
That's okay. You don't all need to be best friends.
Isn't that the way it is? I mean, do you think everybody loves Tom Brady?
Oh, no.
I don't think so.
I don't think his kids love Tom Brady.
Okay. On that note, 150 the time. We'll take a short break. We'll wrap it up on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. Wrapping up here, first show back in a few weeks, almost a week and a half. Feels good to be rocking and rolling with you guys again. And don't forget, I'm going to be live and on location at that Arena Cross USA event on Thursday. That's media day. So I said wrong. I said Friday. I will be out there on Thursday, so I'm very much excited about that. Check them out online, and you'll get a great deal because they're doing something really cool where if you tell them you heard about them on the whole show, you get an opportunity to your kids get in free. So like the first 50 tickets or whatever. So you go in with all your kiddos and say, hey, we heard about you guys on the whole show. Then you guys get in free. So check them out. Do me a favor. Check them, you know, Budweiser Event Center, arenacrossusa.com. You can get the tickets there, or you can go at Will Call and say, hey, heard about you guys right here. They're going to hook you up. Get the kids in free. All right, we got to crown a winner real quickly here on Shell. As Dixon took care of business today. Congratulations. You got the 50. Yeah, that's win number 3. Dixon gets the 50. And we recharge next week. Top Text Tuesday continues into the new year. So I hope you guys are enjoying the show as always and just bringing it every single day. What's on tonight? Anything of note that we should be interested in tonight? Air Force is playing host to Utah State. That's basketball, CBS Sports. Okay, there we go. 7 o'clock. There's a little bit local matchup for you. Overall, Bills Bengals game will not resume this week, so odds are they're not going to have it. And we'll just continue to monitor the situation, praying for safety DeMar Hamlin, that he can get through this thing after he suffered cardiac arrest last night in the Monday Night Football game. Yeah, that's it. That'll do it for us. Happy New Year and good night, Northern Colorado.